As a rock critic and cultural commentator, Chuck Klosterman is a leading voice in the world of popular journalism. He's written for The New York Times Magazine, GQ, and The New Yorker. He's the author of several books, including his latest, Chuck Klosterman 4, A Decade of Curious People and Dangerous Ideas. Over the years, Klosterman has interviewed numerous celebrities, including Val Kilmer, Steve Nash, and Bono. He told Steve Paulson that interviewing celebrities is a tricky business.
There really isn't any upside for the celebrity to take part in an interview. They're interested often in having their pictures taken because that helps promote whatever product, whether it be a record or a movie that they're trying sort of to, you know, get consumed by the public. But I think that they're very aware of the fact that, like, for the most part, it hurts them to be interesting.
Right. If they say anything controversial, it's just going to come back to haunt them.
Well, and even if they say something that's not controversial, even if they just say something that's sort of compelling, like something that's kind of interesting, well, the story is going to be structured around this one interesting thing that they said when they sort of let their guard down and sort of just sort of talked freely. Well, then this one sort of, in their mind, maybe arbitrary statement they made is going to become part of their iconography because the story is going to be built around that. So if you're a celebrity and someone's interviewing you, I think that they got to justify in their mind, why should I tell this person something about me that he or she could, one, use to make me look ridiculous, or just sort of fold into a very conventional kind of fluffy piece that no one will care about then. I mean, if someone writes a positive story about someone, it gets very little attention. But if you have one thing in one story that sort of, I don't know, chips away at whatever the persona the artist tried to create, that's going to be copied over and over and over again on these websites, you know?
Well, let me get to Britney Spears. She's famous now for her public mental breakdown. But before that, when you interviewed her, there was a big question. Who's the real Britney? Is it the sex kitten or the girl next door?
Well, when you interview, or at least when I interviewed Britney Spears, and I asked her, like, how do you sort of reconcile this very clear dichotomy you've created between, you know, the hypersexual image that comes across in all your videos and all sort of the portraits of you as a person, and the fact that, you know, you kind of position yourself as just a nice girl from the South who sort of, how did I get caught up in all this, you know? And her response basically was that, not that she disagreed with this, or that, yeah, she realized it, but that's just part of the game. Her response was like, I've never even considered this. Like, I didn't know that this question even existed. Now, which is, in a way, seems impossible. It would seem to indicate that not only has she never read anything ever written about her or watched any time she was ever on television, it would almost be as if she had never really been interviewed before, because that's part of almost every story about her.
Well, here's a typical clip from one of Britney Spears' interviews.
She said before the performance, let's just feel it out and see what happens. So I didn't know it was going to be that long and everything, but it was cool.
Had you ever kissed a woman before?
No, I've never kissed a woman before.
Would you again?
Would I again? No, I would not do it. Oh, maybe with Madonna, but I'm
But that's it. You're going to stay true to Madonna as far as
kissing? Yeah, Madonna, yeah.
What does your mom think?
What does my mom think?
Yeah.
She thinks it was cool. She liked the performance. She knows it's about performing and it's not like, you know, so.
So it raises the question, is she one of the stupidest people on earth, or is she one of the savviest?
And when I was doing that story, it was for an issue of Esquire called Women We Love. So I sort of had to pose that question. You know, like I did not want to do a takedown piece on someone who agreed to be in the, you know, because I don't know. I mean, maybe she doesn't know. Maybe, you know, my assumption is she doesn't, kind of. Like, I don't think she's really aware of how insane her persona is.
Hmm. You know? Well, let me propose another example on the opposite extreme, Bono from U2, you know, serious guy who, you know, not only loves to be interviewed, but loves to talk about his music and loves to talk about saving the world. I mean, just the opposite end. I mean, he seems to be one celebrity who truly does like to be interviewed.
Well, Bono does like being interviewed. He would be the most self-aware celebrity I've ever spoken with. And the whole time you're with him, the question, at least in my mind, was sort of like, you know, is he really this interested in, like, solving, you know, or like, you know, absolving Africa of their third world debt and, like, you know, ending the AIDS crisis and helping humanity? Or is somehow this all wrapped up with the idea of being the vocalist in a rock band? And this is just a new way to sort of move the interest in U2 outside of just the musical sphere.
You'd have to be awfully cynical to think that. I mean, given all the extremes that he's gone to talk about, you know, getting rid of third world debt.
Yes, that's true. Yes, you'd have to be awfully cynical to think that Bono doesn't care about the world. But what's interesting is I do think somewhere in the middle of his career, he did make this decision to become a different person, right? And that he was not going to be – he was going to be on stage the most conventional of rock stars, and off stage he was going to be the least conventional rock star, you know? I mean, every conversation Bono has, he has as if he's being filmed for a documentary. Hmm. Even among his bandmates, you know? He talks as though it's being filmed and that he realizes I am Bono, okay?
So that, does that mean he doesn't sound like a real person then?
Well, he sounds exactly like the person that we see on television.
I got so caught up with it, I ended up in Africa. I went to work with my wife, Ali, in Africa for a month. In Ethiopia, it's shocking to see these Ethiopian people are very beautiful, dignified people, tall, incredibly handsome. And to see them with their heads shaved and sitting with blankets around them, begging for food. And they still looked
noble.
Noble.
You know, you talk about, you know, covering celebrities. What's the one thing that, you know, like, if you interview a celebrity and you talk to your friends about it, the question they always ask is, what is he really like?
Right.
You know, what is Tom York really like? What is David Lee Roth really like? And what they're really fundamentally asking is, the person that they present themselves as, how close is that to the person they are? Now, as an interviewer, you never really know. I mean, I can always tell when I've met a bad journalist because they'll say things like, I've met Madonna or I know Marilyn Manson because they think I've interviewed this person. I know them. They don't know them at all.
So do you feel like it's your job as an interviewer, as a journalist, to try to figure out who they really are? Is that what it's all about ultimately?
You know, I have to admit, at this point in my life, I'm not sure what it really is all about. That's definitely like my views on journalism have changed fairly significantly over the last 5 years. But what I always try to do is I try to sort of make it as real as possible. So, you know, there's this cliche in journalism. It's sort of like save your tough questions for the end, you know?
Right. You don't want them to walk out on you that.
And I think the complete opposite. To me, I ask the harder questions almost immediately if they're the most important questions. Now, if the person walks out, that's not a failed interview. That tells you more about that person than anything that they could have said. Because clearly they are so unwilling to respond to this one issue that they will actually leave knowing that that will become the totality of the story.
Now, you said that your thinking about journalism has changed radically over the last 5 years. What's changed?
Well, it's just interesting because now because I've written books, I have been interviewed. And as crazy as this sounds, I mean, as sort of obvious as this be, like, I have come to realize that, like, what happens in an interview and what the person being interviewed, what their intent is and what ends up being the product of that conversation, even when it's done very well, is really a fabricated sense of the interaction that happened.
You're creating a story, creating a narrative.
You're creating a narrative. Yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy. I mean, like, you know, I remember I wrote about this in my second book, actually. So I guess this has been 2003. I was supposed to interview Dave Perner of Soul Asylum over the phone. So we had like a 20-minute conversation or a 30-minute conversation. But I had to write a long story about it for the Akron Beacon Journal, like, you know, a couple thousand words. So I ended up taking this one sort of statement he had made about his relationship with Winona Ryder, which he had ended, you know, a few years prior. And he almost kind of talked around the issue. But I took one statement and I sort of built a story. I ended up building a psychological profile about Dave Perner from this one statement he had made about Winona Ryder. People love this story, but I mean, I realize how ridiculous that is and how really that is indicative of most celebrity journalism.
Who's the celebrity you'd most want to interview?
I'd like to interview Axl Rose just because he really hasn't given any interviews for so many years, and I feel like I've probably thought more about Guns N' Roses than most of America. I could probably do an okay job with that. I've always kind of wanted to interview Alan Greenspan. I find him to be a very intriguing
Alan
character.
Greenspan.
Yeah, I just thought he was, you know, over the last 20 years, who has had a bigger impact on the day-to-day life of Americans? What one person? For every administration, he was the guy, you know? I think it would be interesting to interview Bill Clinton if I really felt that it would be a conversation where there were no limitations and that he wanted to take part of it and he would answer anything. But I think any reporter would say that.
And, you know, I mean, it raises the question, I mean, could you ever get anything original out of Bill Clinton?
Probably not. Probably not. I mean, I thought that he had the most brilliant way to defray any controversy, which was just deny it, deny it, deny it, deny it, deny it, and then say it's old news.
You know? Now, you're a rock critic. Have you ever interviewed Bob Dylan?
Now, there's somebody I would also like to interview. Well, yeah, here's why. Because
He's obviously a famously difficult person to interview, especially if you ask him about himself.
Well, and there's a pretty interesting book now. It's like, I think it's just called like Bob Dylan, The Interviews. And it's just a collection of all the interviews he's ever done. And it is amazing how he can sort of turn any interaction into a somewhat sort of like confrontational dialogue. Like there'll be interviews where someone will say like, oh, like, you know, that's a nice shirt, Mr. Dylan. And he'll be like, what? And he'll be like, your garment. That's like a nice garment. And he'll be like, your words, not mine. Like, you know, somehow as if he's questioning whether or not he's really wearing a shirt.
Bob Dylan, the symbol of the 60s.
To who?
To the youth of the 60s.
Who says that?
Wasn't you the symbol?
I never said that.
Do you think there is any difference between you and the 60s and the Bob Dylan today?
I couldn't tell you. Is there a difference between you in the 60s and you of today?
Well, I think so, yes. Don't you think that your music have developed from the 60s and from...
Possibly.
When you are around and touring as you are now, do you meet, is it in another audience than you met in the 60s?
No, it's usually the same.
Have you failed in reaching the new generation?
I don't know.
But it's... So you don't think it's... There is a difference, really, between you and the songs you wrote?
No,
in the 60s.
I don't personally think so.
And as you can see, it's just about impossible to get Dylan to answer a single question.
Well, at this point now, he probably is less difficult. He actually is concerned about his legacy, which for a long time, people were always bringing up to him. And he went out of his way to sort of not consider it. And now he sort of realizes like, well, you know, I'm going to have this legacy. I'm going to have this imprint whether I say anything or not. So I might as well, you know, I might as well have some control over, you know, what people are going to say I thought of myself.
Now, I've thought about this because I'm a Dylan fan and, you know, I've heard some bad interviews with him, frankly. And, you know, because, he clearly gets uncomfortable if people ask direct questions about his legacy, about, you know, you're the guy who changed rock and roll. He seems to hate that question. And yet, of course, that's the thing that people want to talk. I mean, do you just avoid that question? He clearly likes talking about other rock groups he likes. I mean, that he gets off on talking of being a fan himself.
Yeah. Like Alicia Keys,
You just go with that? I mean, how would you approach something like that?
Well, you know, like, okay, if somebody doesn't want to talk about something, it doesn't matter how directly you ask it. So if somebody like Dylan, at least, you're not going to bully Bob Dylan into talking about that. If somebody does want to talk about something, a certain subject, but they don't want to deal with it directly, they will bring it up if you sort of talk around it. If Bob Dylan is with a reporter and he wants to mention what he kind of thinks of how people are going to remember, say, the period when he was a Christian or whatever, you know, like, you know, he doesn't talk about that stuff much, but maybe he does. And he decides that this is the reporter that he's going to give this information to. I would guess that if the reporter starts talking about what do you think of Neil Young's legacy, and Bob Dylan starts talking about Neil Young, he will bring the conversation back to himself. I mean, that's always like I usually don't let people ever go off the record. And the reason I don't let them go off the record is because people say they want to have something off the record when they're dying to tell someone, but they don't want to kind of deal with the consequence. So I'll just say like, well, you know, they'll go, can I tell you something off the record? And I'll usually go like, well, you've told me all this other great stuff, and I would hate for whatever you tell me now to sort of contradict that. So it's like, you know, I don't want to know anything you don't want to tell me, so let's just kind of, you know. And then they'll tell you anyway. You know, they'll always say it, you know. I don't know. It's like it would be all these kind of theories about interviewing I've just put out. Like, would they work if I actually was with Dylan? I don't know. It would be an interesting experience, you know?
Chuck Klosterman is critic and cultural commentator. His latest book is called Chuck Klosterman 4. Steve Paulson spoke with him.